Cole Corson, the head football coach with the Glidden-Ralston Wildcats, joining us here today as we take a look at the 2020 season. Wildcats finish up that season at 2-6. Coach, good to catch up with you, and thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff.
You bet. Cole, I know I just said 2-6, but what some people maybe on the outside of your program don't realize is that maybe don't follow the Wildcats real closely. You guys were a small team and a young team to start with, and then injuries kind of ravaged this team kind of throughout the entire season.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of what we talked about near the end of the year there was we really only had one guy who played both ways, Caden Smith last year. Brigham Daniel played some, but we limited him. But other than that, we didn't really have a two-way player. We had some guys who maybe saw one side or the other, but only returning one two-way player in eight-man is rare to begin with, and losing a big senior class to begin with, and guys who were, you know, 2-3 year starters there. We were obviously inexperienced to start the year, and I think that kind of affected us in those first two games. I think if we would have been able to play Boyer Valley and West Harrison maybe later in the season, we might have got a little bit different result, but you got to play them when you play them, obviously. And then, yeah, injuries down the stretch really hindered us. There was times that on the sidelines that, you know, we'd be looking for guys who could just give some of those guys maybe a blow, or a guy maybe got banged up or something in a game that he was, you know, going to return, but he just needed maybe a series or two off. And After so long, it was looking at freshmen. And, you know, you tell yourself, okay, we already had two freshmen playing quite a bit of time on the offensive line with Charles Schoen being our starting center as a freshman, and then Wade Hunter played some too. Then, after that, those are guys at least playing line. They at least have some size to them. You're going down the line after that. And, I thought those guys did some good things too. Emmett Snyder came in some big times, especially in the Woodbine game. He had to play a lot more than probably what we wanted, but for a 5'6" freshman to stick his nose in there against Lane Pryor, who's, you know, Division I being recruited and stuff like that, that's all you can ask of kids. So things derailed us a little bit, but at the same time, I thought we did a lot of positives this year. So it's good for building purposes.
Absolutely. 2-2 at one point, Coach. You talk about the positives. You guys came off of back-to-back wins against Exira and then Arweva in that middle part of the season. So what were the positives that you felt like at that point and then the positives at the end of the season?
Well, we came off the West Harrison game. We were depleted in that game. We got some guys back from injury. The West Harrison game, we let kind of probably slip away a little bit. We weren't able to stop their ground game just for who we lost physically and stuff like that in that game. But then we showed up in Exira, and I thought that was a very physical game. Our defense in those first 2 weeks hadn't been great. It was okay probably after the Boyer Valley first quarter, where we gave up 34 points in the first quarter, something like that. But then, yeah, against Exira to start the two-game winning streak, we were up by 2.5 or down by 2.5. I can't remember for sure. And we basically controlled the whole second half. We only allowed one touchdown, and that was with 3 minutes left with our JV in when we were up 30-plus. So that was huge for us to come out and do a lot of those things. And then we beat a very quality Arweva team who, at the point we played them, was coming off of, three losses to – Woodbine, Coon, and Audubon, so nobody knew necessarily how good Arweva was, and then Arweva ran the table after us. So, that was an testament to how far we came from week one to week four was Arweva beat those teams that, we had lost to earlier in the year, but we had grown so much from week one to week four that the kids really started to see a lot of those positives and seeing a lot of things that we wanted to do. And then, obviously, we hit our gauntlet, down the stretch, playing the top three teams in the district, and just experience down the stretch in those games that the kids have to understand what it takes for four quarters to do some of those things. The Coon game, Woodbine game, we put up almost 50 points on them. We just didn't stop them very well, and some of those things were correctable, but at the same time, effort level needed to be there by everybody. And I think that was the one thing that they really saw in the game of eight-man is you can't rely on maybe your biggest kid to go make every single play. Sometimes you're going to have to step up if you're a safety and come fill a hole, you know, and it's not something you're asked to do every single play. But when you are asked to do it, you got to do it. And that's what we struggled with at times from every position was just the motor that is necessary to be able to compete for four quarters.
Coach, I hate to bring this one up, but you brought it up, that first matchup with Woodbine, minus all the penalties, 98-47. Is that the craziest football game you've ever been a part of?
It's up there. There was no flow at all. That was probably the weirdest thing for a game with so many points. No team really ever, I would say, took complete control because, you know, our final score was we lost by 50, but at, you know, midway through the third quarter, I think it was 3 minutes left, it was only 60-40. And we had turned the ball over in that, at that point, twice in the red zone. We eventually turned it over two more times in the red zone in route to trying to score. So it was just like weird things happen. Obviously, we didn't stop them. I think we only had maybe two or three stops the whole night. But at the same time, I think we only punted the ball once, too. So I think they had one punt, and I think we had one punt. And I think we only went for it one time inside our own 40. So it was just nobody could stop the other team. And our offense was doing a lot of good things. We were doing a lot of short passes and turning them into chunk plays. And we run the ball pretty well, too, for various formations, too. So we did a lot of good things against them. You know, a much bigger team than us across the board. Their offense and defensive line outweighed us by probably 50, 60 pounds. And for us to put up, you know, 48, 50 points when they stick the prior kid at middle linebacker, I thought we did a really good job in that game. We just couldn't replicate it due to a lot of injuries in the playoffs.
Coach, you talk about year number two now of your offense. Where did you see it grow? How close are you guys to kind of being that offense that you want to be?
It'll be weird for sure. Next year, just based upon, I've always told the kids, you know, I like to spread teams out and, you know, based upon personnel, what we want to do, you know, and I always want to be a spread run team is what I, you know, envision ourselves. And, you know, at times we did that and at times we had to stick to mainly the pass. And to me, it was our offensive line dictated that just because we weren't as big up front. We were athletic up front, but we weren't as big up front as some of the bigger teams in the district. So it's going to be hard for us to play power football against people who are bigger than you. I think if you get similar size, you can still run power football. And obviously, we want to get to a point where we're bigger, and I think that's where we're going to be getting to. So, you know, we started off with kind of a small playbook, and I was really impressed with this team, how wide open we were able to get the playbook at the end of the year, and the repetition and the knowledge that they had. We really didn't have, compared to year one, we didn't really have a lot of mix-ups in routes or, you know, blocking scheme and stuff like that. We had, you know, getting outplayed at times, but that to me is a lot different. That's coachable stuff that you can work on. But if you're not getting the fundamentals of an offense being sound when it comes to gaps or your routes and how they rub off each other, whatever it is, if you don't get those things down, then you're not going to be successful anyways. But if somebody's more talented than you or bigger than you or faster than you, then you have to, you know, go back to your basics and your scheme and just try to plug away what you can maybe counter what they're doing. So I thought, you know, by the end of the year, basically we added almost a new series every week to try to throw teams off. And I thought the kids handled it really, really well, especially running, you know, two quarterbacks, John Whipper and Brigham Daniel. We wanted to utilize Brigham as much as possible. So doing that and guys moving positions at times too, with all of our injuries, we had wide receivers playing offensive line. We had offensive linemen switching to wide receiver. You know, Kyle Oberding being a backup quarterback going to the line for us, those guys handled it in stride, and they did a tremendous job throughout the whole season.
Coach, your first year as the head coach, you've been on the staff the last few years, but first year as a head coach, what do you take away that you feel like maybe as a coach you'll change or learn from this first year?
Well, you know, I had that conversation with Coach Lynch a little bit too. You call plays, and if you're like me, I was just, the offensive coordinator. So that was my sole focus, was that. And so then I could report to Coach Lynch and do some of those things and say, hey, this is what I think, do you agree with what we want to put in this week, all that stuff. Whereas the head coach is like, okay, now you have to, semi be in control of everything. Obviously, you want to try to delegate it to whatever you can. But at the same time, it's ultimately coming down to your decisions. And sometimes, pace of play is a big thing. I thought that Woodbine game, pace of play was something that we wanted to try to change. We went spread, no huddle. And so it was just, nonstop offense, defense, calling things because both teams were putting up points. And, that's kind of the eight-man football in a nutshell. But I would say just the overall, as a head coach, it's different than other sports too, just because you have, the injuries that you want to try to monitor, the contact portion of things. At times we had to say, we can't even go contact today because we can't afford, when we got down to 17, 18 kids and six of them are freshmen, we can't afford anybody else to go down. So you have to make those conscientious choices to say to the kids, hey, we're only going helmets or we're going shells today, and you got to be ready on Friday. And that's tough to ask of high school kids at times, is to say you got to be ready to be physical after you have to basically take a week where you can't hit each other due to the risk of injury and all that stuff. But the overall head coaching aspect of it, it stays the same as you try to structure things. I always try to get a rundown of the whole season before the season starts, of where I expect to be, by a certain week and stuff like that. But the first year is always the toughest because you're always making changes on the fly, and you're always trying to maneuver some of those things. So, next year we'll have a better grasp of, where we were at in week five or week six, and what we were able to implement, what worked, what didn't work, and go from there.
Coach, as you guys head into the off season, what are some of the things that you hope? I know weight program probably something that's always been big for you.
Yeah, weights is going to be huge. We had excellent attendance all season long, and when we could get in there in July, I think our attendance. Granted, we make it mandatory during the season, but even outside the season, so in the season and from July to August when it's not mandatory. I think we were sitting at 98%. So to me, that's the kids right there telling me they want to be in there. They want to get better, and they want to do the right thing. We also got some pretty high-tech speed training stuff that we were able to implement in July and stuff and early season that we'll probably get back out and start hitting that again, because our goal is, to compete with those top tier teams. Is we got to be faster and we got to be stronger. I think we're going to get there. I think we got some guys who are really filling out their frames, but at the same time, we lose some of our fastest guys and we got to replace speed with speed. We just can't sit there and say we're just going to be bigger than everybody, because there's always that team that's probably a little bit bigger than you or a little bit faster than you. So we always got to, we got to train like we're in second, and we got to train that we're catching somebody, whether that's, four teams in the district or one team in the district. We got to catch somebody along the way. So that's what we're going to strive for.
Coach, if my memory serves me correct, five seniors on this year's team. Everybody always says that first group of seniors when you're a head coach is always kind of special to you. And I guess my imagination is this group probably going to be pretty special to you.
Yeah. And you say that now this is my third sport being a head coach, where you can say that senior class, and I can go back through and tell you my first senior year, first senior class of baseball, first senior class of girls basketball, and like you said, they're all special, but that first group is a little bit different because it's the first one that kind of either buys in or kind of just goes to the wayside a little bit, and these five, did exactly that. You know, from the get-go, I told him, I said, in order for this to go right, we may not have a lot of positives this year in the sense of wins and losses, but in order for this to get where it needs to go, it starts with you guys. And we got a couple of kids to go back out, Carter Scott, Carter Kennebeck, Brandon Brinks. Those three guys went back out, and they all played, you know, big roles at times. Kennebeck had his, you know, his breakout game against Arweva where he caught a bunch of passes, and we said, this is going to be your night where we're gonna, just going to throw you the ball until they decide to stop you or do something about it. And he had a big night. I think the first two drives, that's all we did was targeted him. Carter Scott played offense and defensive line. I thought he did a tremendous job on the defensive line for a kid who, you know, he can probably attest as a sophomore, wasn't the most physical of kids and wasn't really contact oriented. You know, his senior year, he kind of flipped that switch. And, you know, as you get older, you mature more and you start to figure out that it's fun to hit people at times.
Yep.
And he started to figure that out. And him and Smith, I thought when we were healthy and those two guys were setting the edges, I thought our defense was playing the best it could. And a large testament was to those guys on the edge. You know, and then Brandon Brinks playing nose guard for us. You know, his goal was getting football shape when he came out. We convinced him to go out. He just wanted to be on the team. And then he had big games for us at times where he had to play a lot of snaps. Woodbine, both times was the game where he had to play snaps because he's our biggest kid. And we lined him up, you know, size versus size and, you know, just said you have certain responsibilities when you're out there. And for him, you know, to come up to me after the season and, you know, tell me how fun he had after not being out for a couple of years was a big joy to me because that's what you want your seniors to have. That's what you want your players to have is just to enjoy their experience when they're there, whether we went 0-8, 8-0, whatever. If those guys can step away and say, you know what, I had fun and it was a lot more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be, then that's a win for me. You know, Kyle Oberding, same thing. I asked him before the season, he got a lot stronger and he was going to be one of our guys who we didn't have any offensive linemen. And I asked him before, I said, you know, right now you can probably start as an offensive lineman and start every snap for us, you know, or it's going to be, you know, you're a rotational guy, maybe at the skill positions. And, he was fine playing that offensive line. He had played defensive end before, and he's played some outside linebacker. And so, you know, I knew I was going to get at least physicality out of him, whether if he, you know, knew the whole blocking scheme or not. I was at least going to get somebody who was going to give me what I needed on an offensive line. And Kyle did a tremendous job there. I thought him and Carter as being our guards, we had three guys who played offensive line who weren't even either on the team last year or were playing a different position last year because then Charles Schoen was our center. And so for, you know, Kyle to step in and do that was a testament to him just wanting to help out the team any way possible. And I thought, you know, as a defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid, I thought he did good things for us on defense. He rarely came out offense or defense. So, you know, his stamina, his conditioning were top tier. So that's what you want out of your seniors. And then obviously Brigham Daniel was our do-it-all guy on offense. And he actually, I think he surprised himself a little bit with some of the tackles he made this year. You know, him and Carter Kennebeck at safety are going to be hard to replace next year because watching some of the films over the last, you know, months, some of those guys coming up and making tackles, even if it's 6-7 yards down the field, just open field tackles, I thought those two and Bryson Ertz did a great job at safety. Brigham's going to leave, you know, career with all sorts of various things once I plug everything in. I'm sure he's close to a lot of school records in different things. You know, return yards, returns for touchdown. He had 3 in 1 game. You know, so it's just, he adds to, you know, Glidden Ralston, you know, what we've had over the last, you know, 18, 20 years, that those good athletes and, skill position guys, he's just another person on the list. And anytime he touches the ball, you just have to sit back and kind of enjoy what he does because, in the West Harrison game alone, the three he returned for touchdown, the one, he had 5 guys in a little box, and he made them all miss, and I don't even think anybody got a hand on him. And he took it to the house for a touchdown. So it's just, he was an electric player, and he was a great leader. That was one thing that that hurt me to see him in his last game get banged up as much as he did, just because he wanted to be out there. But at the same time, he grew immensely. I knew I was hard on him from day one, and as a freshman and a sophomore, I always told him, I said, to get where you want to get to, you know, you're going to have to put your head down and you're going to have to grind a little bit and persevere through some things. And he's done that through his whole career. He's had leg injuries, knee injuries, all that stuff, and he's bounced back. And, you know, he never lost a step for all the things that his knees have been through. So great group of kids. They most definitely put things in a great perspective for some of these other guys. And they also put the program in a lot better position from the start of the season to the end of the season. You know, we were a young team to start the season, and we finished with a lot of experience, and we finished with a lot of momentum, regardless of what the score said, of where we want to get to as a program.
Coach, you know, it's always fun. You know, you and I deal with each other for four sports every year. And it's great getting to work with you, man. I appreciate all the time you give us throughout the seasons. Looking forward to the girls' basketball season getting underway, because I'll be contacting you here soon to do preseason basketball interviews. But get some rest, and thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you for all the coverage. And, yeah, I was just thinking that I'm going to get to talk to you in about 3 weeks or so. So it's a quick turnaround for both of us, and I appreciate everything you do for us.
You bet. Head coach Cole Corson again with the Glidden-Ralston Wildcat football program.